Last year, I read this quote by this Italian philosopher. Can't remember his name. Not important. But what he said was fascinating. He basically said, when God created you, he placed you halfway in the universe. You know, you're not completely flesh and you're not completely spirit. You're kind of halfway. You know, you're not fully mortal. You're not fully immortal. You know, you've kind of been placed halfway between heaven and earth. And it's as though God has made you to be like a master builder, a sculptor of your own destiny. That from here on, you decide who you become. You can choose to live in a way that basically decays you. And you can descend down to be like the animals. Or you can choose to live that behavior which is above and basically raise up and become divine. And that you're planted halfway and where you go from here is your choice. I think it's a beautiful image, really, of what God has done with us. Because it's so true. We are halfway. You know, a lot of people say you're just an animal, but you're not. You know, you're more than that. You know, there's something in us which is so spiritual, and we're open to this whole concept of God, and yet we're not quite there. This is really the essence of what the scriptures are calling us to tonight. Placing before us this choice that you stand at the point of decision. The decision you make right this instant and at every instant following this moment determines which way you go. Do you want to go down, become like an animal, or do you want to ascend and become like God? The first reading has got this beautiful proposition where it says that God has set fire and water before you. Put out your hand to whichever you prefer. Now, it seems obvious, doesn't it? You know, we don't necessarily come home at night thinking, oh, I really want to place my hand in a fire and burn myself. You know, it seems ludicrous. But we do it again and again. You know, the reality of sin is that it does burn us. You know, no one walks away from sinful behavior feeling as though the promise has been fulfilled. You know, for all the great promise that whatever it is presents to us, it's kind of wraps itself up with this idea that if you do this behavior, if you take this path, every dream will be fulfilled. Every desire will be happy. And the reality is we walk away empty. We walk away pained, you know, racked with shame and guilt, feeling as though our humanity has been stripped away from us. It's just the way it works. And yet every moment we're faced with this decision. Do I choose the path of selfishness or do I choose the path of love, of sacrifice? God has put before you fire and water. Which do you choose? As it goes on to then say, man has life and death before him. Whichever a man likes better will be given to him. Yeah, it's a strange mystery, this whole mystery of sin. Because even though we experience the reality of this, you know, we know that sin hurts us. We know that sinful behavior, no matter how many times we practice it, we never get better at it. You know, it always leads us to doom. And yet we keep going back. You know, you look at a child, they burn themselves once and never again. You know, they might put their hand on a stove and that's the last time they'll ever do it. And yet for some reason, this mystery of sin that we keep running back. St. Augustine tells the story of when he was 11 years old and he fell in with a bit of a bad crowd as a kid. And this crowd, you know, they troublemakers, you know, just break into people's backyards and steal things. And he tells this story of how they broke into someone's yard one day and just stole pears off the tree. And this came later in life after his conversion. This really troubled him. Because he looked back and he said, why did I do that? He wasn't hungry. He didn't even want the pears. They threw them away and made a mess of them. And yet there was something strangely attractive about it that kept leading him back to this place. It was as though he said he wasn't attracted by the sweetness of the pear, he was attracted by the sweetness of the sin. That there was something playing with him, playing with his heart and leading him deeper and deeper into this fire. And we're surrounded by this. In a sense, our whole world is advertising this fire to us. Everywhere you turn, whether it's the music you listen to, the TV you watch, all of us trying to make these decisions seem so attractive. The constant message is live for yourself. Live for the moment. Pursue happiness at any cost. Don't let anyone else get in the way of that. It's as though there's this great marketing campaign for death, trying to lead us constantly to make this decision against life. The thing we need to do, if we really want to make this decision, is we need to have a clear vision of the alternative. If for half of your waking day you're having this message pumped into you, we need to see the alternative. What is the vision that God is calling us to? This vision of life, the vision of water that he wants us to put our hand into. This really is the vision of heaven. That if we are placed halfway in the universe, we need to take the time to look up, because the whole of our world is telling us to look downwards and become an animal. We need to be able to set our sights on heaven, upon the glory that the Lord has prepared for us. St. Paul says this in the second reading. He speaks of the gift of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is given to us in our baptism and is stirred up in us every time we call upon the Lord. It is the wisdom that none of the masters of this age have ever known. We teach what Scripture calls the things that no eye has seen and no ear has heard, things beyond the mind of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. St. Paul says that the Holy Spirit is like the foretaste of heaven. That when you receive that experience of the Holy Spirit, it's as though you've received the deposit on eternity. It's like God saying, this is a little taste of what's to come. Hold on to this and seek after it. Do whatever you can to ascend to these heights. We need to come back to that experience. We need to come back constantly to that encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because if our minds are being influenced by this message of our world, it'll drag us down. But if your mind is being influenced by the Scriptures, by the lives of the saints, by those holy people around us who have gone before us, then we will ascend. We will find ourselves caught up in this glorious vision. And there's a story told by one of the early church fathers, a guy by the name of St. Simon the New Theologian, where this guy had a vision of heaven this one day. He was praying, he got just caught up in ecstasy. And in the moment, he said to God, look, God, this experience of your glory is so amazing. I'm happy to die now and just have this for the rest of eternity. I'm content. Don't give me anything more. I don't think I could cope with it. And he felt very clearly God respond to him and say, you must be a very small-hearted man. Because what you just saw is like a picture compared to the reality. It's like looking at a painting of the sky compared to looking at the real sky. What God has prepared for us is so glorious that we cannot begin to comprehend it. We need to set our sights on that picture. Because if our vision is dominated by the music, the media, this image that our world is presenting to us, we'll never go anywhere. But if you can allow yourselves to get caught up in the Word of God, to delve into the Scriptures and capture that vision of the glory of the Lord, then this glory, this vision will sweep you up and take you with it. The Lord has placed you halfway in the universe. From here on, it is your decision. What are you going to look at? What vision of reality do you want to fill your mind with? What decision do you want to make at every moment? Is it for yourself, or is it that decision of sacrifice and love? Is it the decision for the moment, or is it the decision for eternity? Every single moment is basically a life and death decision. Do you choose life with the Lord, or do you choose the death that comes from sin? Choose life that you may live. Set your vision on the Lord. Set your vision on heaven, and allow yourself to be caught up in that mystery.